Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
I'm writing this from inside an interrogation room, barricaded behind a desk and a filing cabinet, hands shaking, with the lights flickering overhead and something wet scratching at the other side of the door. I don't know how much time I have, but someone needs to know what happened. Someone needs to understand what's coming. It started last night, just after 1:40 a.m., when I caught the last bus home after my shift at the gas station. Route 13. Practically abandoned, it cuts through a winding stretch of forest before looping out towards the far edge of town where I rent a little house. Most nights, I'm the only passenger, just me and Marcus, the driver. Marcus was solid, quiet, maybe late 50s. Always wore a faded baseball cap, always had a half-dead cigarette tucked behind his ear. The kind of guy who gave off this unshakable calm, like he's seen everything and just didn't care anymore. He didn't scare easy. Until last night. We were maybe 3 stops from mine, just entering the thickest part of the woods. The trees crowd close there, thick black pines that block out the stars. The air always feels heavier, like the forest is watching. Then the bus stuttered, just once. The headlights flickered, the dash lights dimmed, and then, with a grinding wheeze, everything died. No power. No engine, no hum of electricity. The heater shut off and the cold hit me like a wave. And then the light came. Not headlights, not lightning, something else. A white, sterile brilliance washed over the forest, so bright it bled through the seams of the bus, glowing under the seats, behind the windows, through the metal. It wasn't light. It was erasure. Like everything outside the bus had been painted over. Marcus stood slowly. I remember the way he looked at me. One hand on the door lever, eyes narrowed. Not scared exactly. Just resigned.
"Stay here," he said. "No matter what."
The doors opened with a hiss, even though they had no power. Marcus stepped out into the light, casting a long shadow behind him. I climbed into the driver's seat, heart pounding. That's when I saw it. The ship wasn't above us. It was ahead, parked right on the road like it had always been there. It was impossible to focus on, curved in ways that made my head hurt, like a Morbius strip made of bone and steel. The surface writhed subtly, pulsing like it was breathing or hungry. And then they came. They didn't walk. They glided, silent and deliberate, like something underwater. They were tall, thin, their skin waxy and pale. their arms bent in too many places, like dislocated joints moving with unnatural precision. Their heads were smooth, eyeless, featureless, except for a vertical slit that split open slowly when they got close, revealing a slick red membrane that rippled like it was tasting the air. They approached Marcus and touched him, just a single hand on his forehead. He went stiff. Then they turned, and he followed them like a puppet on strings, walking up into the open ship. No sound, no struggle, just obedience. Then, nothing. The light vanished. The ship was just gone, like it had never existed. I ran. I don't remember getting off the bus. I remember the cold air biting my lungs and the sting of tree branches on my face as I sprinted through the forest towards the main road. I flagged down a logging truck, babbled something about abduction and creatures and Marcus disappearing. The driver called the cops. They met me in minutes. They didn't believe me, of course, but they were kind about it. Too kind. Like they were handling someone fragile. They brought me to the station. That was their mistake. I told them everything. 6 officers, 1 dispatcher, 2 detectives. All of them sitting in stunned silence as I described the ship, the things that came down, the way Marcus didn't fight. Then the lights flickered. Just once. Then again. Then everything went dead. And the humming started. Not mechanical, not even physical. It was in our skulls. A low, nauseating frequency that vibrated behind the eyes. One officer screamed and dropped his radio. Another grabbed his head and staggered back against the wall, eyes rolling up into white. Then the window shattered. The front glass imploded, and a gust of cold air filled the room, reeking of burnt plastic and decay. Something stepped through. No, spilled through, like it was peeling itself into our reality. It was one of them. But there were many. Chaos erupted. One officer fired his sidearm. The bullets froze midair, hung there for a second, and then reversed direction and tore into him. Another was lifted by his throat and peeled open from the jaw like paper. There was no blood at first, just smoke, like something inside him had boiled before his skin caught up. One creature slid through the ceiling tiles and dropped onto the officer's back. It wrapped its long fingers around his head and sank its hand through his skull like it was dipping into clay. The screams never stopped. They didn't even sound human after a while. I watched the sergeant try to fight off one with a baton. It didn't even flinch. It let him hit it, then folded itself inside out and swallowed him whole. His body didn't fall. It just melted into the thing like it was never there. I ran. I don't even remember getting into the interrogation room. I just remember slamming the door and jamming the filing cabinet in front of it. My hands were covered in someone else's blood. Now I'm here. Listening. The hall is quiet, except for the occasional click. Like bone tapping on tile, or teeth chattering in reverse. Then the scratching started. Soft at first, curious. Then faster, more aggressive. Long, sharp movements. Something dragging claws across the wood and glass. Something eager. I didn't dare look through the window. But I should have known they wanted me to. because that's when I saw it. Standing outside, in the parking lot, perfectly still. One of them, tall, pale, skin like curdled milk, long arms dangling at its sides like puppet strings. And its head. Its head was Marcus's face. Not a mask, not a copy. His actual face, stitched onto its head like wet leather, stretching too thin over something not meant to wear it. His eyes were glassy, lips pulled into a slight, pleasant smile. And then it spoke, in Marcus's voice.
"Come on now. It's all right. Let us in. You're the last one."
His voice was calm, kind, familiar. But there was something under it, a subtle delay, like someone practicing speech by playing it through a broken speaker. Like it didn't know what it was saying, just that it had to say it. The scratching's getting louder now, faster. The door is vibrating like something's clawing at the lock from the inside. "They don't want to kill me. They want me to open the door. They want permission. They want compliance." I could hear more of them out there now, clicking, hissing, mimicking footsteps and whispered voices. One of them is giggling in my voice. I'm not going to make it out of this room, but I need someone to know what happened here. This isn't science fiction. It's not invasion. It's replacement. And if this is just the beginning, I don't think we're the dominant species anymore.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
The crickets chirped their nightly song, a familiar soundtrack to my night shift patrol in Havenwood, Ohio. Havenwood wasn't exactly bustling, population nearly cracked to 2,000. My nights were usually quiet, filled with the occasional barking dog or a teenager sneaking out. Small town. Tonight, however, was different. It started subtly. A bright light, almost star-like, appeared in the clear night sky. I had seen shooting stars before, but this one just hung there. It didn't twinkle. It glowed with a steady, unnatural intensity. Then it grew larger, much larger. It wasn't a star anymore. It was something else. Curiosity weared with a prickling unease. I pulled over, switching off my headlights to better observe the phenomenon. The light pulsed, shifting in ways no airplane, helicopter, or weather balloon could possibly replicate. It moved with a jerky, almost hesitant grace, dipping and soaring in impossible arcs. It was silent, yet somehow, its presence felt deafening. My radio crackled,
Dispatch to Unit 7, do you copy?
It was Sheriff Brody, my boss, his voice tight with an edge of anxiety I hadn't heard before. Copy, Sheriff, I replied, my voice betraying a tremor I couldn't quite control. I've got something unusual in the sky.
Unusual how?
I hesitated, unsure how to describe what I was witnessing. It's a bright light, Sheriff. It's moving strangely. It's like nothing I've ever seen. A long silence followed.
Stay where you are, Miller.
Brody finally said.
I'm sending backup. Just keep an eye on it.
The light continued its erratic dance. Then, it did something that made my breath catch in my throat. A beam, thin as a laser pointer, but impossibly bright, shot down from this object. It landed in the dry brush beside my patrol car, igniting it instantly. Flames erupted, climbing rapidly into the night. The smell of burning wood and undergrowth filled the air. My heart pounded a frantic rhythm against my ribs. This wasn't just unusual. It was terrifying. The backup arrived. Deputy Davis, a young but capable officer, and Sheriff Brody himself. We watched, awestruck and terrified, as the light performed a slow, deliberate circle around the burning brush before abruptly vanishing. The silence that followed was heavier than the smoke hanging in the air. We stared at the burning brush, the orange glow casting long, distorted shadows. Then came the sirens. Not ours. Much closer. A fire truck screamed to a halt nearby, its headlights cutting through the darkness. The firemen, already in action, started fighting the blaze, their movements efficient and practiced. Yet I felt no relief. The fire was merely a symptom, a physical manifestation of a much greater, more unsettling mystery. As the firemen worked, Sheriff Brody approached me, his face etched with concern.
Miller, he began, his voice low. You saw it too, didn't you? That thing. We saw it on our way here when we were coming up to meet you.
I nodded, unable to speak. The memory of the light's unearthly movements, the sudden, precise beam of fire, was seared into my mind.
We've had some strange occurrences around Havenwood lately, Brody continued, his gaze distant. Things we can't explain. Missing livestock, strange noises in the woods, flickering lights, and now this. We thought it was kids pranking, but...
His voice trailed off. He looked at the burning brush, then back at me, a grim look settling on his face.
After seeing this tonight, I don't think it's kids anymore, Miller.
The days following the incident blurred into a mix of official reports, hushed conversations, and uneasy speculation among the townsfolk, and around our office. The fire, thankfully, was contained without further incident. However, the unsettling feeling lingered. Rumors spread like wildfire, fueled by hushed whispers and rumors and fearful glances, even amongst my colleagues. Some claimed it was a weather phenomenon, others a military experiment gone wrong. Others still suggested something far more sinister, extraterrestrial intervention. My night shifts were no longer quiet. I drove my route with heightened alertness, the image of the light, its erratic movements, and the sudden precise beam of fire seared into my memory. I didn't sleep well. The image of the burning brush kept me awake, Havenwood was no longer the same. And I'm sure we're not the only ones. Then came the disappearances. First, old Mr. Abernathy, who lived alone on the outskirts of town. Then, young Sarah Jenkins, who had been hiking in the woods on a popular trail on the outskirts of town. The sheriff's office labeled them as missing persons, but I saw the growing fear in Brody's eyes, the subtle shift in his posture, the way he avoided my gaze when I brought up the subject. We both knew. We both suspected the truth. The strange light, the burning brush, the disappearances. They were all connected, all pieces of a horrifying puzzle we couldn't solve. My night shifts were no longer merely about patrolling the quiet streets of Havenwood. They were about keeping watch for something unseen, something terrifying that lurks in the shadows, something that had chosen Havenwood as its hunting ground. The quiet, peaceful Havenwood was no longer quiet. It was haunted. The silence was the worst part of it all.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
As a police officer in East Tennessee, my nights often blended into long stretches of quiet roads wrapped into a cloak of darkness. Patrolling these familiar streets, I took pride in my work, even when it sometimes felt lonely. It was just past midnight when I felt that strange crackle in the air, the kind that hinted at something unusual on the horizon. I rolled through the small town. The moonlight spilled across the asphalt like milk. My patrol car's headlights flickered over the landscape, casting shadows amongst the trees. But then something caught my eye. An intense light shining bright against the black sky. It shimmered, pulsating gently like a heartbeat, and for a moment, I thought it might be a trick of the mind. I blinked and looked closely, but the light remained. Driven by a mix of my curiosity and unease, I called it into the station, my voice steady despite the rising tension in my chest. "This is Officer Collins. I'm at the intersection of Elm and Maple. I see something really strange in the sky right now. It's a bright light. I know it sounds crazy, but I'm requesting backup." The dispatcher acknowledged my call, but there was a slight tremor in my hands. The light grew larger and more intense, illuminating the tree line ahead of me. It shifted through shades of blue and green, almost like something alive. I couldn't just sit there in my car. I switched on my siren and sped towards the moving light, the darkness closing in behind me. As I approached, the light suddenly vanished behind a cluster of tall oaks. I parked my car, the engine quietly humming as I got out, my flashlight flickering to life. The pristine silence of the woods was unsettling, making every snap of a twig sound like thunder. The air smelt different, sharp and metallic, almost electric. I pushed through the trees, my heart racing. Then I saw it. A massive hole in the ground. The smoke curled into the air like ghostly tendrils. It looked like a crater, scorched and smoldering, the edges glowing with a faint reddish hue. My mind raced. What could have caused this? Was it a meteorite? But no. This felt more wrong, like something out of a nightmare. I stepped closer, careful of the hot dirt that threatened to crumble beneath my boots. And then I felt it. A tremor, a pulsing vibration that resonated through my chest. There was definitely something unnatural here. I aimed my flashlight into the pit, revealing flickering flames underneath blackened rock. The heat washed over me, forcing me to take a step back.
"Collins, are you there?"
crackled a voice from my radio. I jumped, heart nearly exploding out of my chest.
"We're on our way. What do you see now?"
It's hard to explain. There's a huge crater here. Smoke, fire. I don't see a craft, but something definitely landed here. Here's my coordinates," I responded, my voice strained. Just then, I saw movement out of the corner of my eye. I turned quickly, expecting to see one of my fellow officers arriving faster than expected, but there was nothing but shadows. My imagination fed the growing fear inside me. Then I heard it, a low hum, a sound like an angry beehive. It rolled through the air, vibrating the leaves around me. I shined my flashlight around, feeling a chill grip my spine.
"Hello? Is anybody there?"
I called, my voice trembling as I shouted. That's when I saw her, standing at the edge of the crater, silhouetted against the flames. A woman, her hair long and wild. She wore a tattered dress that fluttered like strange wings around her. Her eyes, bright, almost glowing in the darkness, were locked onto mine.
"Help me,"
she said, her voice trembling but strong. My heart raced. Who was she? What did she want, and how did she just get here out of nowhere? I took a cautious step forward, adrenaline pumping through my veins.
"Are you all right? Do you need medical help?"
As I approached, the air changed. The warmth from the fire turned cold. The woman's smile faded, replaced with a look of horror.
"It's not safe here. You need to leave."
Before I could respond, confused, the hole erupted with unholy light. I stumbled back, shielding my eyes. In the chaos, the vibrations intensified, shaking me to my core. A low growl emerged from the crater. My instincts kicked in. I grabbed my radio, but a deafening blast silenced my voice. The light expanded, swallowing everything around me. I turned to run, but the glare wrapped around me like a living creature. As I fled, I caught a glimpse of figures, shadowy and grotesque, swirling within the light. The woman's voice echoed in my mind. "Run, run, run. They're coming, they're coming." I bursted through the trees, desperately seeking my way back to the patrol car. But the road seemed different, wider, as if I had stepped into another world. The temperature dropped, frost nipping at my skin, nipples rock hard. Glancing back, I saw the figures materialize out of the light, their forms shifting and twisting like smoke. I reached my car, fumbling for the door, when the radio crackled to life again.
Shh, Officer Collins, do you copy? We're close. Is everything all right with you?
My God, no! Get out of here! It's...
Before I could finish, my body jerked back, an invisible force yanking me away from the car. In that moment, I realized the light behind me had dimmed. The figures were gone, the woman's scream replaced by an eerie silence. I staggered away, collapsing to the ground as my breath came in quick gasps. The chill hung in the air as I pulled myself back to my feet. The patrol car loomed nearby, headlights flickering like dying stars. I scrambled inside, locking the doors and feeling the strong pulse of my heart. The night was eerily calm now, as if everything had returned back to normal. Yet I knew deep down, it wasn't over. My heart raced as my radio crackled once more.
Shh, Collins, where are you? We're almost there.
I couldn't respond. How could I explain what just happened? In the depths of the dark, the crater remained a haunting memory, a reminder that some lights should never be followed, and some nights should never be disturbed.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
We all know that feeling. You finally manage to get away on vacation and the worrying starts. Will that bogus beware of dogs sign keep your home safe? What about that fake camera you set up? And will someone finally find your old hide and key rock? That's where ADT comes in. All that stuff, it's safe-ish. It seems fine when you don't really think about it, but you know it truly doesn't work. Instead, ADT provides security solutions that keep you actually safe, giving you real peace of mind. Because vacation is supposed to be, you know, relaxing. Don't settle for safe-ish. Visit ADT.com today to learn more.
The night began like any other in Maplewood, a peaceful town nestled between rolling hills and sprawling fields. The glow from the streetlights offered comfort, and the gentle hum of evening life filled the air. As a police officer, I had seen my fair share of odd happenings, but nothing could have prepared me for what was about to unfold. It started around 9 p.m. when the power flickered for a moment before plunging the entire town into darkness. Confused, people stepped outside of their homes, squinting into the night. I stood outside the station, my uniform a second skin to me, ready to help if needed. But that evening, I felt a strange unease crawling up my spine. Suddenly, a sound pierced the stillness, a loud cracking like thunder, but sharper. I looked up, and there it was, a massive ship, unlike anything I had ever imagined, hovering above our town. It gleamed unnaturally under the stars, an enormous silver disc that sent chills down my back. That's when the screams began. They echoed like cries from a nightmare, cutting through the silence of the night. I rushed to the source of the commotion that was closest. A group of townsfolk gathered near an old park. Their faces were pale as they pointed skyward, babbling about creatures descending from the ship. Before I could even make sense of it, a figure landed near the fountain with a thud. The alien was tall, with skin that shimmered like polished metal, its limbs elongated, and it moved with an unsettling fluidity. I had expected it to be the stuff of science fiction, but there it stood. The way it looked at us, though, sent shivers through me. Its eyes were wide and hungry.
"Get inside! Get the safety!"
I shouted, my voice trembling slightly. The crowd scattered like grains of sand, running for their lives. But as I turned to join them, I heard a strange sound, a buzz that made the hairs on my arms stand on end. Then I saw it. The alien seemed to target the people from behind, wielding a strange device that sparked with bright green energy. In the chaos, I caught a glimpse of my neighbor, Mrs. Dominguez, as she turned to run. But it was too late. The alien raised its device and, with a zap, shot her from where it hurt the most, right in the crapper. She crumbled to the ground with a scream that echoed into the night, her rear end glowing slightly before she fell silent. Her dead body laid on the ground, but her asshole was glowing a bright reddish-orange color, like she had ate way too much at Taco Bell and had way too many hot sauce packs. "What in the world?" I thought. "They were after our bottoms!" In disbelief, I stumbled backwards, inching away from the horror. I knew I should protect my town, but my legs felt heavy, and the fear gripped my heart. I turned and ran, heading to my house, to my basement, desperately pulling the door shut behind me. The basement was dark, and I fumbled for the light switch. Of course, no electricity meant no light. My heart raced as I stumbled around, eventually finding a dusty old flashlight. I clicked it on, its weak beam barely reaching the corners of the room. I huddled against the cold wall, clutching my notebook and pen in trembling hands, determined to document what was happening before it was too late, before the aliens found me and attacked my juicy ass. I needed to think clearly. I heard muffled sounds above me, yelling, crying. The aliens were terrorizing Maplewood, and I was hiding like a coward instead of helping. How could the other officers fight them if we had no communication? My mind swirled with thoughts as I scribbled down what I had seen, wanting someone to know the truth. I thought of my partner, Officer Dave Sanders. He was a brave man, always rushing headfirst into danger, while I was always more cautious. I wonder what he was doing right now. I glanced at the window, listening more closely. Was that a strange thrum from above? The aliens were not only attacking, they were trying to take control of our town. I pressed my ear against the wall, trying to hear what was happening outside. The sounds seemed to grow distant, and then suddenly, silence. The eerie quiet was unsettling. I flipped through my notebook, eyes scanning what I had written. There could be some truth in this madness. Maybe they were just after our bungholes or something, like some form of energy to survive. Our gas, maybe it had something that they needed. Just as I was deep in thought, I heard a loud crash right above me. My heart skipped a beat. What could it be? I jumped, holding my breath as I listened. That's when I heard voices. Familiar voices. It was Dave and a group of townspeople. They were nearby.
"Joe!"
Dave called, his voice wavering.
"Are you in there? Are you home?"
"Yes!" I shouted back, relief washing over me.
Get up here!
He insisted.
We need to fight back! They're taking our asses out, literally!
I hesitated. Fear gripped me once more, but then I heard another scream, a chilling reminder of what was at stake. My juicy booty was at stake, and I wasn't giving that up for nothing or no one. There were innocent people with innocent tushies here. I could not hide anymore. My starfish would need to attack. With newfound determination, I stormed up the basement stairs to the door. When I finally opened it, I was greeted by a scene that filled my stomach with dread. Broken glass, overturned cars, the fallen branches, trees. The unnatural night sky glimmered with an alien ship swirling above, casting strange shadows.
Over here, Joe!
Dave called, waving me over to a small group of townsfolk armed with whatever they could find. Someone held a broom, another had an old baseball bat. Their faces were painted with fear, but there was resolve in their eyes.
What's the plan?
I asked, feeling adrenaline surge through me, and a bit of gas bubbling up from my late-night dinner at Chipotle. Dave shrugged, a hint of a smile on his face.
We distract them and run. It's the only choice we got. We gotta get out of town. There's no power here.
And with that, we charged out into the night, facing the aliens with everything we had, and all the flatulence we had to go against them. As I ran, I couldn't help but think, would anyone believe our story? Or would it just be another tale lost to the ages? As we moved bravely ahead, the sounds of organs sizzling and the sights of chaos grew clearer. The scent of burnt buttholes wafted through the air. The Battle of Maplewood's bungholes had begun, and this weekend night would never be forgotten. We were out to save our town, and something deep within me stirred. Fear was not the only emotion you could feel during such horror. Maybe a bit of courage. Maybe a bit of constipation. Pinching. Turtlehead. But would our gas, bravery, and twerking be enough? That question loomed large as the alien's green light flashed through the air once again. The fight was on. And now, there was no turning back.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.